Conservative Party Manifesto 2017, CD 2 of 3. 2. A strong and united nation in a changing world. Theresa May's Conservatives will deliver the best possible deal for Britain as we leave the European Union, delivered by a smooth, orderly Brexit. A strong and stable union, with no divisive Scottish referendum at this time. A United Kingdom shared prosperity fund, taken from money coming back to the UK as we leave the EU, to reduce inequalities between communities across our four nations. Global leadership on development, backed by spending 0.7% of our national income with new rules to spend it more effectively. Strong defence, meeting our NATO target of at least 2% of GDP and increasing spending by at least 0.5% more than inflation every year. Security from crime and terrorism, backed by a new national infrastructure police force, a stronger response to white-collar crime and our world-leading counter-terrorism strategy, the United Kingdom is embarking upon another era in our centuries-old story. We are leaving the European Union. We want to ensure our departure is smooth and orderly and to agree a deep and special partnership with the 27 remaining member states. In leaving the European Union, we have chosen a truly global role for Britain. To strike trade deals with old friends and new partners and take a leading position in the world to defend British interests, we must be strong and united. This begins with our determination to defend the integrity of the United Kingdom and to strengthen the Union, bringing the peoples of the United Kingdom together. Our precious Union. We are a United Kingdom, one nation made of four. The most successful political union in modern history. Its very existence recognises the value of unity. England, Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales achieve less as 2, 3, or 4, than as the United Kingdom together. This unity between our nations and peoples gives us the strength to change things for the better, for everyone, with a scale of ambition we simply could not possess alone. The settlement governing these islands has changed profoundly in the last 20 years. Significant decision-making have been devolved to the Parliament in Scotland and assemblies in Wales and Northern Ireland. Devolved administrations in Edinburgh, Cardiff and Belfast exercise greater powers than equivalent governments elsewhere in the democratic world. In England, we have given considerable powers to city mayors and combined authorities, while local councils now have greater control of the taxes they collect. This positive evolution of our constitution has given a voice to people who felt distant from the centre of power, and responsibility to people for their own part of our great country. We will continue to work in partnership with the Scottish and Welsh governments and the Northern Ireland Executive, in a relationship underpinned by pooling and sharing resources through the Barnett formula. We will respect the devolution settlements. No decision-making that has been devolved will be taken back to Westminster. Indeed, we envisage that the powers of the devolved administrations will increase as we leave the EU. However, we can still do more for the people of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. The United Kingdom government has in the past tended to devolve and forget. This Conservative government will put that right. We want the UK government to be a force for good across the whole country. So we will be an active government, in every part of the UK. We will work closely with the Northern Ireland Executive, the Scottish and Welsh governments, and the new devolved authorities in England, for the benefit of all our people, but that will not be the limit of our actions in the four nations. We are ambitious for everyone in Britain and will leave no one behind in our efforts to spread opportunity and prosperity throughout the United Kingdom. England. This Conservative government has devolved more power to English local authorities, closer to local people, than any previous government in over a century. Across England, newly elected mayors, combined authorities, local councils and local enterprise partnerships are being empowered to improve local growth and public services. We will continue to give local government greater control over the money they raise and address concerns about the fairness of current funding distributions. With devolution now established in London and other parts of England, we will consolidate our approach, providing clarity across England on what devolution means for different administrations so all authorities operate in a common framework. We will support those authorities that wish to combine to serve their communities better. For combined authorities that are based around our great cities, we will continue to support the adoption of elected mayors, but we will not support them for the rural counties. Scotland. The Scottish Parliament has become the most powerful parliament of its kind in the world, with extensive powers over taxation and welfare. It was the Conservative and Unionist Party that delivered the 2012 and 2016 Scotland Acts, and only the Conservative and Unionist Party can deliver further powers and the best possible deal for Scotland as we leave the European Union. The United Kingdom has voted to leave the European Union, but some would disrupt our attempts to get the best deal for Scotland and the United Kingdom with calls for a divisive referendum that the people of Scotland do not want. We have been very clear that now is not the time for another referendum on independence. In order for a referendum to be fair, legal and decisive, it cannot take place until the Brexit process has played out, and it should not take place unless there is public consent for it to happen. This is a time to pull together, not apart. Scotland's economic growth has lagged behind the rest of the United Kingdom in recent years. The Scottish Government has the tools to drive economic growth in Scotland, but we take seriously our duty to secure prosperity for the whole of the United Kingdom. We will, therefore, take concerted action to help secure the long-term sustainability of the Scottish economy. Scotland and Scottish industries will be central to our industrial strategy. We will continue our investment in capital and infrastructure projects in Scotland. Building on the city and growth deals we have signed across Scotland, we will bring forward a borderlands growth deal, including all councils on both sides of the border, to help secure prosperity in southern Scotland. We will protect the interests of Scottish farmers and fishermen as we design our new UK farming and fisheries policy. And as we develop our new trade policies, we will pay particular attention to using the United Kingdom's muscle to promote Scottish exports around the world. Wales. The Conservative Party has a proud record of promoting Welsh culture, helping economic growth and supporting devolution in Wales. The 2017 Wales Act, passed by a Conservative government, transfers significant new powers to the National Assembly for Wales and the Welsh Government. Wales plays a crucial role in our modern industrial strategy, in the promotion of growing industries in Wales and in the additional powers handed to Welsh local authorities and businesses to promote local growth. Welsh businesses will be central to our new trade and export policies, and our investment in improved infrastructure will help Welsh companies benefit even more from the UK's single market than they do now. We will modernise the railway infrastructure across Wales, including new and improved stations, and explore ways to harness Welsh natural resources for the generation of power. We will build on the Cardiff Capital Region and Swansea Bay City Region deals, and bring forward a North Wales growth deal, connecting North Wales with Northern England. We will work with the Welsh Government to encourage further cross-border working, ensuring that the border between England and Wales does not become a barrier to business, education or communities. We will foster opportunities between cities in Wales and the rest of the UK, such as linking economic development between Cardiff, Newport and Bristol. We will protect the interest of Welsh farmers as we design our new UK farming policy and work with the devolved administrations to ensure the strength of the Welsh brand is maintained. We will continue to support S4C as a part of a UK broadcasting structure and in its key role promoting the Welsh language, which a Conservative government first protected. Northern Ireland. Our steadfast belief remains that Northern Ireland's future is best served within a stronger United Kingdom. Our commitment to the 1998 Belfast Agreement and its successors, together with the institutions they establish, is undiminished. The next Conservative government will therefore work to re-establish a strong, stable and inclusive executive at the earliest opportunity. We will uphold the essential principle that Northern Ireland's future should only ever be determined by democracy and consent. A Conservative government will work closely with an incoming executive to strengthen the economy even further, to improve productivity, reduce public sector dependency and promote Northern Ireland as a location for inward investment. We remain committed to the devolution of corporation tax powers subject to the executive demonstrating fiscal stability. As we leave the European Union, we recognise Northern Ireland's unique circumstances and will seek to ensure that Northern Ireland's interests are protected. While the number of terror attacks from dissident Republican terrorists has fallen from 40 in 2010 to 4 in 2016, the threat they pose remains severe and the need for vigilance paramount. We will continue to confront and combat those who use violence, threats and intimidation, providing the fullest possible support to the Police Service of Northern Ireland and other agencies in their work to keep the public safe and secure. A Conservative government will continue to work for the full implementation of the 2014 Stormont House and 2015 Fresh Start agreements. This includes new bodies for addressing the legacy of the past in fair, balanced and proportionate ways which do not unfairly focus on former members of the armed forces and the Royal Ulster Constabulary. The immense contribution of the security forces during the Troubles should never be forgotten. We will reject any attempts to rewrite history which seek to justify or legitimize terrorism. Shared institutions of union. For too long, power in Britain has been centered in London. This means opportunity has centered in London too. It is time major cities around Britain shared in the government of the United Kingdom. For our civil service and major cultural bodies to claim to be UK institutions, they need to represent and be present across our whole United Kingdom. It is also wrong that while some of our major cultural institutions have made efforts to gain a presence across the UK, others have not. We will put this right. Starting with the UK government's arm's-length bodies, we will start moving significant numbers of UK government civil servants and other public servants out of London and the southeast to cities around the UK. We will ensure that senior posts move too, so that operational headquarters as well as administrative functions are centred not in London but around Britain. And we will do so in a way that encourages the development of new clusters of public services, private businesses and, where appropriate, universities. We will proceed on the same basis with the arts and cultural organisations that give our United Kingdom such strength. Channel 4 will remain publicly owned and will be relocated out of London, and we will work with the nation's most eminent museums and galleries to ensure their works and expertise are shared across the country. United Kingdom Shared Prosperity Fund. We believe in one nation, in helping every part of our country share in the prosperity and opportunity of our great United Kingdom. Yet there is much to do. Current EU-wide structural funding was designed to tackle disparities, but it is expensive to administer and poorly targeted. As we leave the European Union, we must look at how we can better reduce and eliminate these inequalities. We will use the structural fund money that comes back to the UK following Brexit to create a United Kingdom Shared Prosperity Fund, specifically designed to reduce inequalities between communities across our four nations. The money that is spent will help deliver sustainable, inclusive growth based on our modern industrial strategy. We will consult widely on the design of the fund, including with the devolved administrations, local authorities, businesses and public bodies. The UK Shared Prosperity Fund will be cheap to administer, low in bureaucracy and targeted where it is needed most. Leaving the European Union. Following the historic referendum on 23 June 2016, the United Kingdom is leaving the European Union. Only the Conservative Party, under Theresa May's strong and stable leadership, can negotiate the best possible deal for our country. In her Lancaster House speech, the Prime Minister laid out the 12 principles she intends to follow in seeking a new deep and special partnership with the European Union. We have explained our approach in the White Paper on the United Kingdom's exit from, and a new relationship with, the European Union. During the passage of the European Union Notification of Withdrawal Act, in the Prime Minister's letter to the President of the European Council invoking Article 50, and in the Great Repeal Bill White Paper, we want to agree a deep and special partnership with the European Union. This partnership will benefit both the European Union and the United Kingdom. While we are leaving the European Union, we are not leaving Europe, and we want to remain committed partners and allies to our friends across the continent. The negotiations will undoubtedly be tough, and there will be give and take on both sides, but we continue to believe that no deal is better than a bad deal for the UK. But we will enter the negotiations in a spirit of sincere cooperation and committed to getting the best deal for Britain. We will make sure we have certainty and clarity over our future, control of our own laws, and a more unified, strengthened United Kingdom. We will control immigration and secure the entitlements of EU nationals in Britain and British nationals in the EU. We will maintain the common travel area and maintain as frictionless a border as possible for people, goods and services between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. Workers' rights conferred on British citizens from our membership of the EU will remain. We will pursue free trade with European markets and secure new trade agreements with other countries. We want to work together in the fight against crime and terrorism, collaborate in science and innovation, and secure a smooth, orderly Brexit. And we will protect the democratic freedom of the people of Gibraltar and our overseas territories to remain British, for as long as that is their wish. The final agreement will be subject to a vote in both Houses of Parliament. As we leave the European Union, we will no longer be members of the Single Market or Customs Union, but we will seek a deep and special partnership, including a comprehensive free trade and customs agreement. There may be specific European programs in which we might want to participate, and if so, it will be reasonable that we make a contribution. We will determine a fair settlement of the UK's rights and obligations as a departing member state, in accordance with the law and in the spirit of the UK's continuing partnership with the EU. The principle, however, is clear: the days of Britain making vast annual contributions to the European Union will end. We want fair, orderly negotiations, minimizing disruption and giving as much certainty as possible, so both sides benefit. We believe it is necessary to agree the terms of our future partnership alongside our withdrawal, reaching agreement on both within the 2 years allowed by Article 50 of the Treaty on European Union. Repatriating EU law to the United Kingdom. We will enact a Great Repeal Bill. Our laws will be made in London, Edinburgh, Cardiff and Belfast, and interpreted by judges across the United Kingdom, not in Luxembourg. The bill will convert EU law into UK law, allowing businesses and individuals to go about life knowing that the rules have not changed overnight. This approach means that the rights of workers and protections given to consumers and the environment by EU law will continue to be available in UK law at the point at which we leave the EU. The bill will also create the necessary powers to correct the laws that do not operate appropriately once we have left the EU, so our legal system can continue to function correctly outside the EU. Once EU law has been converted into domestic law, Parliament will be able to pass legislation to amend, repeal or improve any piece of EU law it chooses, as will the devolved legislatures, where they have the power to do so. As powers return from the EU, we will be able to determine the level best placed to take decisions on these issues, ensuring that power sits closer to the people of the United Kingdom than ever before. We expect that the outcome will be a significant increase in the decision-making power of each devolved administration, but we must also ensure that as we leave the EU, no new barriers to living and doing business within our own union are created. In some areas, this will require common UK frameworks. We will work closely with the devolved administrations to deliver an approach that works for the whole of the United Kingdom and reflects the needs and individual circumstances of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. As well as the Great Repeal Bill, We will bring forward a number of additional bills to ensure that when we have left the EU, there is a clear statutory basis for United Kingdom authorities to exercise powers that are currently exercised through EU law and institutions. We will not bring the European Union's Charter of Fundamental Rights into UK law. We will not repeal or replace the Human Rights Act while the process of Brexit is underway, but we will consider our human rights legal framework when the process of leaving the EU concludes. We will remain signatories to the European Convention on Human Rights for the duration of the next Parliament. Global Britain. The United Kingdom is a global nation. Our history is a global history, our future must be global too. We believe Britain should play an active, leading role in the world. Not because it is our right or inheritance, but because our leadership in the world is the surest way to defend and advance the interests of the British people, and to extend around the world those values that we believe to be right. The United Kingdom is already a global power. We have a leading diplomatic service and one of the largest overseas development budgets in the world. Our armed forces are respected around the world and enable us to project power globally. Our global businesses and London's position as the global center of finance make us more interconnected with the global economy than any other comparable nation. Britain is already a significant influence for good around the world. Our aid is giving millions an education and an opportunity to rise out of poverty. Our naval vessels are stopping the vile trade in people and in drugs. We are at the forefront of action against global climate change. We can and should do more, not just because acting as a force for good is an important end in itself, but because the result will be greater peace and prosperity for the British people. We will continue to champion British values around the globe: freedom, democracy, tolerance and the rule of law. We will be the world's foremost champion of free trade. We will expand our global efforts to combat extremism, terror, and the perpetration of violence against people because of their faith, gender or sexuality. We will continue to lead international action against climate change, and the degradation of habitat and loss of species. We will continue to lead a global campaign for the education of women and girls, which is the key to progress in so many countries. We will lead the fight against modern slavery, just as we overcame the trade in slaves 200 years ago. We will lead a global effort to close down online spaces for those who abuse children, incite violence or propagate hate speech. We shall lead the world in the hard work to end extreme child poverty and coordinate efforts against microbial resistance and emerging tropical diseases. And we will take up leadership in a new arena, where concern is shared around the world. We will be the global leader in the regulation of the use of personal data and the internet. British leadership in international institutions. The security and prosperity of the United Kingdom is built on the international institutions that we helped to found and will continue to help maintain: the United Nations and the UN Security Council, NATO, the cornerstone of our defense, the Commonwealth, the G20, G7 and the World Trade Organization. We will continue to give strong support to an international order in which rules govern state conduct. In our own behavior, we will support this system and apply it in a principled way. We shall continue to seek to reform multilateral institutions, especially in the way they distribute development funds, so that money is used to greatest effect to protect and help the world's most vulnerable people. Global partnerships and alliances. Alongside our proposed deep and special partnership with the European Union, we will maintain the historical, cultural and economic ties that link us to our old friends and allies around the globe. We will build upon our existing special relationship with the United States, and forge new economic and security partnerships that make us more prosperous at home and more secure abroad. We will strengthen our close links with our Commonwealth allies, continuing our mission together to promote democratic values around the world and build on our existing economic relationships to further our common trading interests. We will develop alliances and cooperate more with old friends and new partners. A global champion of free trade. The United Kingdom will be a global champion for an open economy, free trade, and the free flow of investment, ideas and information. Open and free trade is key to international prosperity, stability and security. It is an essential component of an economy that works for everyone. We believe the UK must seize the unique opportunities it has to forge a new set of trade and investment relationships around the world, building a global, outward-looking Britain. Promoting British culture around the world. The United Kingdom is home to some of the finest cultural institutions in the world. We will continue to promote those institutions and ensure they have the resources they need to amplify Britain's voice on the world stage and as a global force for good. We will continue to promote democracy, the rule of law, property entitlements, a free and open media, and accountable institutions in countries and societies across the world. We will place the BBC World Service and the British Council on a secure footing so they are able to promote the best of British values around the globe and build strong ties between our local communities and other countries. Leading the world in development. British aid helps millions and is a powerful statement of global Britain's place in the world. It protects our interests. By building a safer, healthier, more prosperous world, we can protect our own people from disease, conflict and instability. This is the right ambition for a country with a global outlook, so we will maintain the commitment to spend 0.7% of our gross national income on assistance to developing nations and international emergencies. We will continue to use our aid budget in alignment with the Sustainable Development Goals, to end extreme poverty, save children's lives, and provide an education for girls. We will work to end the subjugation and mutilation of women, to combat the brutal slave trade in fellow human beings and to prevent catastrophic environmental degradation. And we will continue to lead global efforts to tackle sexual violence in conflict. British scientists and inventors have helped to address some of the greatest challenges facing the world's poorest people. A global Britain should aspire to do even more. We will significantly increase our funding of UK-led medical and technical research into the biggest threats to global health and prosperity. There are still ways that we can improve the way that taxpayers' money is used to help the world's most vulnerable people. We do not believe that international definitions of development assistance always help in determining how money should be spent, on whom and for what purpose. So we will work with like-minded countries to change the rules so that they are updated and better reflect the breadth of our assistance around the world. If that does not work, we will change the law to allow us to use a better definition of development spending, while continuing to meet our 0.7% target. Reforming asylum. We will ensure Britain remains a place of sanctuary for refugees and asylum seekers. The existing system, however, is geared towards people who are young enough, fit enough, and have the resources to get to Britain, rather than those who are most in need of our help. Wherever possible, the government will offer asylum and refuge to people in parts of the world affected by conflict and oppression, rather than to those who have made it to Britain. We will work to reduce asylum claims made in Britain and, as we do so, increase the number of people we help in the most troubled regions. We will continue to work with other countries in Europe, and the United Nations, to review the international legal definitions of asylum and refugee status. We will make sure our councils get the help they need to deal with people as they arrive, and establish schemes to help individuals, charities, faith groups, churches and businesses to provide housing and other support for refugees. Protecting the global environment. The United Kingdom will lead the world in environmental protection. As conservatives, we are committed to leaving the environment in better condition than we inherited it. That is why we will continue to take a lead in global action against climate change, as the government demonstrated by ratifying the Paris Agreement. We were the first country to introduce a Climate Change Act, which conservatives helped to frame. And we are halfway towards meeting our 2050 goal of reducing emissions by 80% from 1990 levels. We will champion greater conservation cooperation within international bodies, protecting rare species, the polar regions and international waters. We will work with our overseas territory governments to create a blue belt of marine protection in their precious waters, establishing the largest marine sanctuaries anywhere in the world. Modern slavery. The UK is a global leader in fighting the evil trade in human beings, both around the world and in our own country, for sex and labour exploitation. As Home Secretary, Theresa May brought forward the Modern Slavery Act, the first of its kind in Europe, appointed the world's first anti-slavery commissioner and set up the Modern Slavery Task Force to bring together the heads of MI5, MI6 and the National Crime Agency to coordinate our response to criminal gangs operating across the world. We now need to go further. We need to focus on the exploitation of vulnerable men, women and children for their labor, people who are moved around our own country and between nations, as if they were not human at all. We will review the application of exploitation in the Modern Slavery Act to strengthen our ability to stop criminals putting men, women and children into criminal, dangerous and exploitative working conditions. And the UK will use its power to push the United Nations and other international bodies to make modern slavery a thing of the past. Strong defence in an uncertain world. Our world is full of opportunity but is also riven by conflict, terrorism and threat. As a global power, we have a responsibility to sustain our fine armed forces so that they can defend the realm, our overseas territories and our interests around the globe. We will play a leading role in NATO and maintain the ability to conduct strike operations, peacekeeping, security missions and the deployment of a joint expeditionary force. We will maintain the overall size of the armed forces, including an army that is capable of fielding a war-fighting division. We shall expand our reach around the world. We will retain the Trident continuous at-sea nuclear deterrent to provide the ultimate guarantee of our security. We have the biggest defense budget in Europe and the second largest in NATO. We will continue to meet the NATO commitment to spend at least 2% of GDP on defense, and we will increase the defense budget by at least 0.5% above inflation in every year of the new parliament. The finest servicemen and women. We will attract and retain the best men and women for our armed forces, including by engaging them on a flexible basis. We will protect our brave armed forces personnel from persistent legal claims, which distress those who risk their lives for us, cost the taxpayer millions and undermine the armed forces in the service they give. Under a Conservative government, British troops will in future be subject to the law of armed conflict, which includes the Geneva Convention and UK service law, not the European Court of Human Rights. We will strengthen legal services regulation and restrict legal aid for unscrupulous law firms that issue vexatious legal claims against the armed forces. We will introduce better compensation for injured armed forces personnel and the families of those killed in combat. The best equipment for our armed forces. We plan to invest £178 billion in new military equipment over the next decade, creating high-skilled jobs across the whole country. For the first time in a generation, the Royal Navy is growing. We have cut steel on the first of a new fleet of 4 dreadnought ballistic missile boats, and we will complete the Astute class of hunter-killer submarines. Our 2 new aircraft carriers will project British military power for the next 50 years. HMS Queen Elizabeth begins sea trials in the summer, and HMS Prince of Wales is due to enter active service in 2020. Alongside our new Type 45 destroyers, we will build 8 Type 26 anti-submarine frigates and develop our program for a new class of lighter, general-purpose frigates so that by the 2030s we can further increase the size of our fleet. We shall also deliver 5 offshore patrol vessels. For the Army, we will deliver AJAX armored vehicles, Apache attack helicopters, new drones, new missile and bomb systems, and better equipment for the Special Forces. The Royal Air Force will receive, with the Fleet Air Arm, the Lightning II Strike Fighter, as well as new maritime patrol aircraft. Taken together, This is the largest program of investment in our armed forces for generations. Supporting our veterans. We will support former members of the armed forces, who are willing to risk their lives for us, as they move into civilian life. We will maintain and strengthen the Armed Forces Covenant. We will help veterans to start new careers by ensuring that the skills and qualifications they gained in service are recognized by civilian employers and by introducing a one-year holiday on employer national insurance contributions for firms hiring service personnel after they leave service. We will improve the coordination of government services to veterans, including housing, employment and mental health services, by introducing a veterans board in the cabinet office. The home of democracy and the rule of law. This election will decide the composition of our parliament, the oldest of all large democracies. The laws that we make form the basis of judgments in our courts, which are respected around the world. This unequaled democracy and legal system is our greatest national inheritance. However, collective faith in our democratic institutions and our justice system has declined in the past two decades. It is the purpose of this Conservative Party, in responding to the historic vote on our membership of the European Union, to re-establish faith in our democracy, and in our democratic and legal institutions. A flourishing and secure democracy. Our democratic institutions may be ancient but should not be neglected. We will continue to modernize and improve our electoral registration process, making it as accessible as possible so that every voice counts. We will legislate for Votes for Life for British overseas electors. We will continue with the current boundary review, enshrining the principle of equal seats, while reducing the number of MPs to 600, similar to other Western democratic chambers. We will retain the first-past-the-post system of voting for parliamentary elections and extend this system to police and crime commissioner and mayoral elections. We will retain the current franchise to vote in parliamentary elections at 18. We will repeal the Fixed-Term Parliaments Act. The British public deserves to have confidence in our democracy. We will legislate to ensure that a form of identification must be presented before voting, to reform postal voting and to improve other aspects of the elections process to ensure that our elections are the most secure in the world. We will retain the traditional method of voting by pencil and paper, and tackle every aspect of electoral fraud. Although comprehensive reform is not a priority, we will ensure that the House of Lords continues to fulfill its constitutional role as a revising and scrutinizing chamber which respects the primacy of the House of Commons. We have already undertaken reform to allow the retirement of peers and the expulsion of members for poor conduct and will continue to ensure the work of the House of Lords remains relevant and effective by addressing issues such as its size. Celebrating public service. Our nation is made great by millions of people who work every day to serve the public. Public service is a noble vocation, one which we will celebrate. We want the most committed and capable people to come into public service, and for public services to be motors of social mobility, which is why we are looking at ways to make sure civil service recruitment is as diverse as possible, not only from the perspective of gender and race but social class too. We will continue to fund schemes to get graduates from Britain's leading universities to serve in schools, police forces, prisons, and social care and mental health organizations. These programs are now some of the UK's largest graduate employers, taking the brightest and best from our universities and using their talents to tackle entrenched social problems. We want to go further. We will provide seed funding for similar schemes to recruit older professionals from other sectors, including those returning to the workplace having cared for children and relatives and those approaching retirement. We know public services are dependent upon the public servants who run them, which is why we will establish in law the freedom for employees to mutualize, where appropriate, within the public sector. We will review the honours system to make sure it commands public confidence, rewards genuine public service, and that recipients uphold the integrity of the honours bestowed. Reforming the justice system. The last 7 years have seen historic falls in crime and improvements in public safety. We will build on that record. A strong criminal justice system requires a good legal system. We cherish our strong and independent judiciary. Our courts and judiciary are respected as the finest in the world. Legal services are a major British export and underpin our professional services sector. We will continue to modernize our courts, improving court buildings and facilities and making it easier for people to resolve disputes and secure justice. We will take action to make it harder for people to enter the country if they have a criminal conviction and will implement satellite tracking for every foreign national offender subject to an outstanding deportation order or deportation proceedings. Standing up for victims. We will ensure that victims of crime are supported at every stage of the criminal justice system. We will enshrine victims' entitlements in law, making clear what level of service they should expect from the police, courts and criminal justice system. We will ensure that child victims and victims of sexual violence are able to be cross-examined before their trial without the distress of having to appear in court. Publicly funded advocates will have specialist training in handling victims before taking on serious sexual offences cases. To ensure that the pain and suffering of the Hillsborough families over the last 20 years is not repeated, we will introduce an independent public advocate, who will act for bereaved families after a public disaster and support them at public inquests. We will extend the scope of the unduly lenient sentence scheme so a wider range of sentences can be challenged. And we will push forward with our plan for tackling hate crime committed on the basis of religion, disability, sexual orientation or transgender identity. Strengthening the police and security services. We will help Britain's world-leading police forces and prosecutorial services to fight crime, protect the public and provide security for businesses. We will create a national infrastructure police force, bringing together the Civil Nuclear Constabulary, the Ministry of Defence Police and the British Transport Police to improve the protection of critical infrastructure such as nuclear sites, railways and the strategic road network. We will strengthen Britain's response to white-collar crime by incorporating the Serious Fraud Office into the National Crime Agency, improving intelligence sharing and bolstering the investigation of serious fraud, money laundering and financial crime. We will extend direct entry into the police, including at chief officer level. We will continue to invest in our world-leading security services and maintain and develop our counter-terrorism strategy to protect us from terrorism at home and abroad. And we will bolster the response to cyber threats on private businesses, public services, critical national infrastructure, and individuals, working with the National Cyber Security Centre to prevent attacks wherever possible and with the police and international law enforcement agencies to ensure perpetrators are brought to justice. We will widen the role of police and crime commissioners to help them cut crime for their local communities. We will ensure that commissioners sit on local health and well-being boards, enabling better coordination of crime prevention with local drug and alcohol and mental health services. We will build on the Policing and Crime Act, which introduced better coordination of policing and fire and rescue services, with greater devolution of criminal justice responsibility and budgets to local commissioners. Punishment and reform. Prisons should be places of reform and rehabilitation, but we should always remember that incarceration is punishment for people who commit serious crimes. The £15 billion annual cost to society of reoffending shows we have so much more to do to make the penal system work better. Prisons must become places of safety, discipline and hard work, places where people are helped to turn their lives around. They should help prisoners learn English, maths and the work skills they need to get a job when they leave prison, whilst providing the help prisoners require to come off drugs and deal with mental health problems. We will invest over £1 billion to modernise the prison estate, replacing the most dilapidated prisons and creating 10,000 modern prison places. We will reform the entry requirements, training, management and career paths of prison officers. We will create a new legal framework for prisons, strengthening the Inspectorate and Ombudsman to provide sharper external scrutiny. Community punishments do not do enough to prevent crime and break the cycle of persistent offending. So we will create a national community sentencing framework that punishes offenders and focuses on the measures that have a better chance of turning people around and preventing crime, such as curfews and orders that tackle drug and alcohol abuse. We will introduce dedicated provision for women offenders. 3. The world's great meritocracy. Theresa May's Conservatives will deliver more good school places, ending the ban on selective schools and asking universities and independent schools to help run state schools. World-class technical education, underpinned by prestigious new institutes of technology with the freedoms that make our universities great. A government unafraid to confront the burning injustices of the gender pay gap, racial disparity, the stigma of mental health and disability discrimination. Protections for victims of domestic abuse in law through a new landmark domestic violence and abuse bill. Fairer markets for consumers and action on the cost of living, including a safeguard tariff cap to protect energy customers from unacceptable rises. Controlled, sustainable migration, with net migration down to the tens of thousands. We have done much in recent years to break down long-standing divisions in our country. Yet some social injustices endure. If you are at a state school, you are less likely to reach the top professions than if you are educated privately. If you are a white, working-class boy, you are less likely than anybody else in Britain to go to university. If you are black, you are treated more harshly by the criminal justice system than if you are white. If you are born poor, you will die on average 9 years earlier than others. If you are a woman, you will earn less than a man. If you suffer from mental health problems, there is not enough help at hand. These are burning injustices that damage the unity of our country, and we will address them. The truth is that if we are to make Britain the world's great meritocracy, we also need to do much more to support millions of people who live in ordinary, working families. Because life is often much harder for these families than many in positions of power seem to realize. They might have a job, but not always job security. They might be homeowners, but they worry about paying the mortgage and wonder if their children will be able to afford a home of their own. They can just about manage, but worry about the cost of living and getting their children into a good school. They deserve a government that is on their side. A country founded on merit. The greatest injustice in Britain today is that your life is still largely determined not by your efforts and talents but by where you come from, who your parents are and what schools you attend. This is wrong. We want to make Britain the world's great meritocracy, a country where everyone has a fair chance to go as far as their talent and their hard work will allow, where advantage is based on merit not privilege. To succeed, we must redouble our efforts to ensure that everyone, no matter who they are or where they are from, can have a world-class education. More good school places. We are proud of our reforms to education, which are giving millions of children a better start in life than they could have expected a decade ago. Thanks to our school reforms, such as the establishment of free schools and academies, and changes to ensure a rigorous curriculum, there are more good and outstanding schools today than ever before. There are now more than 1.8 million more children in schools rated good and outstanding than in 2010. The proportion of pupils taking core academic subjects at GCSE has almost doubled. There remains a long way to go. For too many children, a good school remains out of reach. There are still 1 million children in primary and secondary schools rated by Ofsted as requires improvement or inadequate. If schools across the Midlands and north of England had the same average standards as those in the south, nearly 200,000 more children would be attending good schools. We need to give every child in our country the best possible education if we are to provide them with the best opportunities in the world. To achieve that ambition, we will have to go further in reforming our education system. So we will continue with our program of free schools, building at least 100 new free schools a year. We will prohibit councils from creating any new places in schools that have been rated either inadequate or requires improvement by Ofsted. We will make it a condition for universities hoping to charge maximum tuition fees to become involved in academy sponsorship or the founding of free schools. We will introduce new funding arrangements so we can open a specialist maths school in every major city in England. We will replace the unfair and ineffective inclusivity rules that prevent the establishment of new Roman Catholic schools, instead requiring new faith schools to prove that parents of other faiths and none would be prepared to send their children to that school. We will work with the Independent Schools Council to ensure that at least 100 leading independent schools become involved in academy sponsorship or the founding of free schools in the state system, keeping open the option of changing the tax status of independent schools if progress is not made. We will lift the ban on the establishment of selective schools, subject to conditions, such as allowing pupils to join at other ages as well as 11. Contrary to what some people allege, official research shows that slightly more children from ordinary, working-class families attend selective schools as a percentage of the school intake compared to non-selective schools. While the attainment gap between rich and poor pupils stands at 25% across the country, at selective schools it falls to almost zero. These changes will have a great effect. But alone they cannot overcome the unfairness of selection by house price, where ordinary, working-class families find it difficult to access the best schools because they cannot afford to live in the catchment area. We will therefore conduct a review of school admissions policy. We will be clear at the outset that we will never introduce a mandatory lottery-based school admissions policy. A knowledge-rich curriculum. Our reforms to what is taught in schools have been profound. We have addressed grade inflation and poor standards and developed a world-class curriculum. This has meant considerable change for pupils, teachers and schools. So now we will help them consolidate those gains, starting with the early building blocks of learning. A Conservative government will strengthen the teaching of literacy and numeracy in the early years so that all pupils, regardless of background, get the best possible start in life. We will build on the success of the phonics screening test. We will expect every 11-year-old to know their times tables off by heart. To maintain progress as children go through secondary school, we will improve schools' accountability at Key Stage 3. We will expect 75% of pupils to have been entered for the EBACC combination of GCSEs by the end of the next Parliament, with 90% of pupils studying this combination of academic GCSEs by 2025. We will ensure all children have access to an academic, knowledge-rich curriculum. We will introduce a curriculum fund to encourage Britain's leading cultural and scientific institutions, like the British Museum and others, to help develop knowledge-rich materials for our schools. And we will ensure that assessments at the end of primary school draw from a rich knowledge base, and reduce teaching to the test. We will consider how Ofsted can give parents more information on what their children are being taught. Supporting teachers. We want great people to become teachers, teach in our most challenging schools and stay there. We will continue to provide bursaries to attract top graduates into teaching. To help new teachers remain in the profession, we will offer forgiveness on student loan repayments while they are teaching and bring in dedicated support to help them throughout their careers. We will provide greater support for teachers in the preparation of lessons and marking, including through the use of technology, and we will bear down on unnecessary paperwork and the burden of Ofsted inspections. We will create a single jobs portal, like NHS Jobs, for schools to advertise vacancies in order to reduce costs and help them find the best teachers. Fairer funding. The way funding is distributed to schools in England is not fair. Across the country, children with the same needs and expectations receive markedly different rates of funding for their school place. We have begun to correct this, and in the next Parliament we will make funding fairer still. We appreciate that it is hard for schools receiving a higher level of funding to make cuts in order to pay for increases elsewhere, so while we will make funding fairer over the course of the Parliament, we will make sure that no school has its budget cut as a result of the new formula. We will increase the overall school's budget by £4 billion by 2022, representing more than a real terms increase for every year of the Parliament. We will continue to protect the pupil premium to support those who need it. In order to fund these commitments, we have taken an important decision. We do not believe that giving school lunches to all children free of charge for the first 3 years of primary school, regardless of the income of their parents, is a sensible use of public money. There is now good evidence that school breakfasts are at least as effective in helping children to make progress in school. So under a new Conservative government, schools in England will offer a free school breakfast to every child in every year of primary school, while children from low-income families will continue to receive free school lunches throughout their years in primary and secondary education. The savings made from this change will be added to the core school's budget, meaning that every penny saved will go towards children's education. World-class technical education. For too long in this country, technical excellence has not been valued as highly as academic success. We want British technical education to be as prestigious as our world-leading higher education system, and for technical education in this country to rival the best technical systems in the world. This will require bold reform of the funding, institutional and qualifications frameworks for technical education, in partnership with British industry. We have already introduced high-quality apprenticeships that can reach to degree level and beyond for the 200,000 young people who choose to enter full-time vocational study after their GCSEs each year. We now need to go further to improve technical education and offer young people a real choice between technical and academic routes at 16. We will start by replacing 13,000 existing technical qualifications with new qualifications, known as T-levels, across 15 routes in subjects including construction, creative and design, digital, engineering and manufacturing, and health and science. We will increase the number of teaching hours by 50% to an average of 900 hours per year and make sure that each student does a 3-month work placement as part of their course. And we will extend our reforms to the highest levels of technical qualification. We will invest in further education colleges to make sure they have world-class equipment and facilities and will create a new national program to attract experienced industry professionals to work in FE colleges. We will establish new institutes of technology, backed by leading employers and linked to leading universities, in every major city in England. They will provide courses at degree level and above, specializing in technical disciplines, such as STEM, whilst also providing higher-level apprenticeships and bespoke courses for employers. They will enjoy the freedoms that make our universities great, including eligibility for public funding for productivity and skills research, and access to loans and grants for their students. They will be able to gain Royal Charter status and Regius professorships in technical education. Above all, they will become anchor institutions for local, regional and national industry, providing sought-after skills to support the economy, and developing their own local identity to make sure they can meet the skills needs of local employers. To ensure that further, technical and higher education institutions are treated fairly, we will also launch a major review of funding across tertiary education as a whole, looking at how we can ensure that students get access to financial support that offers value for money, is available across different routes and encourages the development of the skills we need as a country. We will put employers at the center of these reforms. We will deal with local skills shortages and ensure that colleges deliver the skills required by local businesses through skills advisory panels and local enterprise partnerships working at a regional and local level. We will deliver our commitment to create 3 million apprenticeships for young people by 2020, and in doing so we will drive up the quality of apprenticeships to ensure they deliver the skills employers need. We will allow large firms to pass levy funds to small firms in their supply chain, and work with the business community to develop a new program to allow larger firms to place apprentices in their supply chains. We will explore teaching apprenticeships sponsored by major companies, especially in STEM subjects. Lastly, we will make the system easier for young people taking technical and vocational routes. We will introduce a UCAS-style portal for technical education. We will introduce significantly discounted bus and train travel for apprentices to ensure that no young person is deterred from an apprenticeship due to travel costs. Career learning. We will in the next parliament produce the best program of learning and training for people in work and returning to work in the developed world. We will help all workers seeking to develop their skills in their existing jobs by introducing a new right to request leave for training for all employees. Alongside this, we will help workers to stay in secure jobs as the economy changes by introducing a national retraining scheme. Under the scheme, the costs of training will be met by the government, with companies able to gain access to the apprenticeship levy to support wage costs during the training period. We will break down the barriers to public sector workers taking on more qualified roles because of their prior educational attainment. For instance, we will ensure that teaching assistants can become qualified teachers and healthcare assistants can become nurses via a degree apprenticeship route, in addition to other routes. We will equip people with the digital skills they need now, and in the future, by introducing a right to lifelong learning in digital skills, just as we have done for literacy and numeracy. More people in work. Employment is at a record high and we will continue to strive for full employment. We will continue to run the welfare system in accordance with our belief that work is the best route out of poverty, that work should always pay, and that the system should be fair both to the people in need of support and those who pay for it. We have no plans for further radical welfare reform in this parliament and will continue the rollout of universal credit, to ensure that it always pays to be in work. We will also work to help those groups who have in the past found it difficult to get employment, by incentivizing employers to take them on. So for businesses employing former wards of the care system, someone with a disability, those with chronic mental health problems, those who have committed a crime but who have repaid their debt to society, and those who have been unemployed for over a year, we will offer a holiday on their employer's national insurance contributions for a full year. We will also provide targeted support for young people between the ages of 18 and 24 so that everyone, no matter what their start in life, is given the very best chance of getting into work. A country that comes together. Controlling immigration. Britain is an open economy and a welcoming society, and we will always ensure that our British businesses can recruit the brightest and best from around the world, and Britain's world-class universities can attract international students. We also believe that immigration should be controlled and reduced, because when immigration is too fast and too high, it is difficult to build a cohesive society. Thanks to Conservatives in government, there is now more control in the system. The nature of the immigration we have, more skilled workers and university students, less abuse and fewer unskilled migrants, better suits the national interest. But with annual net migration standing at 273,000, immigration to Britain is still too high. It is our objective to reduce immigration to sustainable levels, by which we mean annual net migration in the tens of thousands, rather than the hundreds of thousands we have seen over the last two decades. We will, therefore, continue to bear down on immigration from outside the European Union. We will increase the earnings thresholds for people wishing to sponsor migrants for family visas. We will toughen the visa requirements for students, to make sure that we maintain high standards. We will expect students to leave the country at the end of their course, unless they meet new, higher requirements that allow them to work in Britain after their studies have concluded. Overseas students will remain in the immigration statistics, in line with international definitions, and within scope of the government's policy to reduce annual net migration. Leaving the European Union means, for the first time in decades, that we will be able to control immigration from the European Union too. We will therefore establish an immigration policy that allows us to reduce and control the number of people who come to Britain from the European Union, while still allowing us to attract the skilled workers our economy needs. Integrating divided communities. Britain is one of the world's most successful multiracial, multicultural, multireligious societies. We are proud of our diversity, and the cultural and economic enrichment it brings. The enjoyment and pride we take in our diversity should not cause us to ignore the fact that in too many parts of our country, we have communities that are divided, often along racial or religious lines. To address this, we will bring forward a new integration strategy, which will seek to help people in more isolated communities to engage with the wider world, help women in particular enter the workplace, and teach more people to speak English. We will work with schools to make sure that those with intakes from one predominant racial, cultural or religious background teach their students about pluralistic, British values and help them to get to know people with different ways of life. Defeating extremism. Our enjoyment of Britain's diversity must not prevent us from confronting the menace of extremism. Extremism, especially Islamist extremism, strips some British people, especially women, of the freedoms they should enjoy, undermines the cohesion of our society and can fuel violence. To defeat extremism, we need to learn from how civil society and the state took on racism in the 20th century. We will consider what new criminal offences might need to be created, and what new aggravated offences might need to be established, to defeat the extremists. We will support the public sector and civil society in identifying extremists, countering their messages and promoting pluralistic, British values. And we will establish a commission for countering extremism to identify examples of extremism and expose them, to support the public sector and civil society, and help the government to identify policies to defeat extremism and promote pluralistic values. This is the end of CD 2.